ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। सो बिफोर बिगिनिंग आई वुड लाइक टू सीक द ब्लेसिंग्स ऑफ ऑल डिवोटीज हियर एज वेल एज अवे फ्रॉम हियर। श्यामानंद प्रभु, राधा गोपीनाथ प्रभु, गौरांग प्रभु एंड एवरीबडी, आई एम फीलिंग रियली नर्वस एज यू कैन ऑल अंडरस्टैंड। वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 9 चैप्टर 19 वर्स नंबर 13। यत् पृथिव्यां व्रीहीयवम् हिरण्यं पशवस्त्रियः न दुह्यन्ति मनःप्रीतिं पुंसः कामहतस्यते। यत् ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन: A person who is lusty cannot satisfy his mind even if he has enough of everything in this world, including rice, barley and other food grains, gold, animals and women. Nothing can satisfy him. Purport: Improvement of one's economic condition is the aim and object of materialists. But there is no end to this material advancement. For if one cannot control his lusty desires, he will never be pleased, even if he gets all the material wealth of the world. In this age, we see much material improvement, but still, people are struggling to get more and more material opulence. Manashashtyani indriyani prakriti sthani karshati. Although every living entity is a part of the Supreme Being, because of lusty desires, one continuously struggles for so-called betterment of one's economic condition. To have a satisfied mind, one must give up his heart disease of lusty desires. This can be done only when one is Krishna conscious. Bhaktim param bhagavati pratilabhya kamam hridrogam ashva apinoti achicharena dhira. If one becomes Krishna conscious, then he can give up this heart disease. Otherwise, this disease of lusty desires will continue and one cannot have peace in his mind. Krishna. So, here in this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, we are discussing this chapter 19, which is entitled King Yayati Achieves Liberation. We see here that King Yayati is sharing his life's realizations. He's been engaging in, like we have heard from the previous classes by our senior god brothers earlier, that how he has been engaging in sense gratification for so many years. Earlier, he had the facility of enjoying, then because of certain reasons, because of his fate, somehow or the other, he lost his youth. And then he became so shameless and begged for again some facilities for sense gratification. And he was awarded the same thing. And then for many years, he enjoyed sense gratification with his wife and with the other facilities. And now, after that, now he's come to a very, very important conclusion in his life, which he's sharing with us. So, it's very important that we learn. Srimad Bhagavatam has such narrations which teach us so many things, which we can learn and imbibe in our own lives and make our life successful. So here we see King Yayati. Usually this is important for us because it's coming from a person who had all these opulences and facilities to enjoy. If some a poor man, he speaks about renunciation, not many people will give importance to that. But here we see that King Yayati, after enjoying for so many years Now he is saying that a person who is lusty cannot satisfy his mind even if he has enough of everything of this world, including rice, barley and other food grains, animals and women. Nothing can satisfy him. So today this will be the main theme of our discussion, that this lust, which is the anartha, which is troubling each and every one of us, and we are all victims of this lust, and we need to get overcome this anartha, which is very important, to become Krishna conscious and go back to Godhead. So here a person who has lust, even though he may have all the types of facilities for enjoyment, still he will remain unhappy. Because when lust, if it is satisfied, then what happens? It converts itself to greed. The more and more we try to satisfy our lust with our limited facilities, whatever we may have, it develops into greed. And in case we are unable to satisfy the lust, then what happens is we become angry. Exactly. So both ways we are, it's trouble both sides. So in fact, in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna himself, he says that avritam jnanam etena jnanino nitya vairina kama rupena tu kaunteya dushpurena analena cha. Thus, the wise living entity's pure consciousness becomes covered by his eternal enemy in the form of lust, which is never satisfied and which burns like fire. So here in the purport also, Srila Prabhupada says that it is said in the Manusmriti that lust cannot be satisfied by any amount of sense enjoyment, just as a fire is never extinguished by constant supply of fuel. In the material world, the center of all activities is sex. And thus, this material world is called Maithunagar, or the shackles of sex life. In the ordinary prison house, we see people are usually shackled by iron chains and they are put behind bars. But the surprising and very surprising thing is that in this world, we are all in this agar, but there are no shackles which we can perceive from our senses. We can see directly. But actually, it is said that a person who is shackled by the chains of desires, although he is shackled, but still he goes on running around to satisfy his desires. On the other hand, a person who becomes free from these shackles, he actually sits down peacefully and engages in spiritual development. So, Prabhupada again says, advancement of material sense civilization on the basis of sense gratification means increasing the duration of material existence of the living entity. Because the body, Prabhupada himself explains, the reason that we are having this body is that we have engaged in sense gratification. And as a result of that, we have got this body to enjoy maybe some pious deeds which we may have done, or to suffer the consequences of sins which we would have committed. And by engaging this body again in further activities of satisfying our desires, we are creating only more and more bodies for us in the future. So, in fact, in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna himself, he analyzes the reason for the battle of this Mahabharata. He says that this battle has been, the reason for this battle has been the lobhena, because of the greed of the unsatisfied lust of the Kauravas. Like recently we had been to Mayapur and Gaurang Prabhu was conducting seminar for the visitors, guests. And he was describing that how just because of the unsatisfied lust or greed of one person, Duryodhana, the entire society had to pay such a big price. More than 64,000 crores of soldiers were killed during this one battle. And so many families became orphans, children became orphans, parents became childless, so many wives became widows. all this was just because of the cause of one person's unsatisfied lust or greed. And so we see in our present day society that there are so many such Duryodhanas in our society today. And because of their unsatisfied lust, there are so many wars being ravaged every now and then. So much of turmoil and unrest is there in the society. There is so much of gap between the haves and the have-nots, which is all leading to so much of anxiety and for the common people. Like, we see off and on so many times, there are so many scams which are coming up. And all of this is just a sign of the unsatisfied or uncontrolled lust of the people. Like, even in Niti Shastra, it is said, all earning money is not wrong, but to earn money just to satisfy our lust, to hoard money, as we see, if money is not used for even for sense gratification or for our own self or for our family, or if it is not given for in dana also, in charity, then such a money which is accumulated just like that or hoarded is a cause for our own ruination. We see so much of money, like we come across so many times in the newspaper also, so much of money is being stored in the Swiss bank here and there, and so many places, so many people are having assets worth crores of rupees. And then we see on the other hand, there are so many people, common man, who are dying out of hunger, out of thirst, and basic necessities are not being available for them. And all this is being orchestrated just by a few people and for their own sense gratification. So we see that Prabhupada, he calls such people as thieves. Even in Ishopanishad, it's mentioned that when somebody steals or takes more than what is meant for him, what is actually his needs, then he actually becomes a thief, because everything is actually the proprietorship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. Everything actually belongs to him, and Krishna is very merciful, just like a father, and he is ready to give us whatever is required by us. But the more, if we take more than what is necessary or required by us, then we are actually thieves. And then Krishna further in Bhagavad Gita, he explains how that this lust is actually such a big enemy. He actually takes control of our various senses, our mind and intelligence. And thus, it actually bewilders us and makes us like dance to their tunes. Like, mind is supposed to be the center of all activities of the senses. And thus, when we hear about sense objects in mind, we actually generally develop a lot of desire to or hankering for enjoying all these sense objects. In fact, Maharaj Yudhishthir, when he had in the first canto of Bhagavatam itself, when Maharaj Yudhishthir had sent Arjuna to find out about the Lord Krishna's further activities, and when he saw that Arjuna was not returning, so then he started to observe many symptoms of the Kali Yuga in the society. He says, Kalasya chakati rudraha viparyastatru dharmayeyu papeshyanai vartaya krodha lobhana atmanam. Maharaj Yudhishthir saw that the direction of eternal time had changed, and this was very fearful. There were disruptions in seasonal regularities. The people in general had become very greedy and deceitful, and he saw that they were adopting foul means of livelihood, which was a deviation from their prescribed duties. So Maharaj Yudhishthir, he was such a great king, and he became perturbed. He became very uneasy that all these people are engaging in these activities where they have become very greedy, angry and deceitful, using unlawful means for livelihood. So normally, actually, during when Maharaj Yudhishthir was reigning, such symptoms, which we today, when we hear all these things, we don't find it alarming at all, because we see that all these qualities are there, prevalent in all people, in abundance. But Maharaj Yudhishthir, when he saw these things, he became very perturbed, because during his reign, he had such things were unheard of. Deceit or you adopting a foul means for livelihood. But nowadays we see that ends justify the means. People believe in that. That whatever may be the end, if you earn money by whatever means, then if you are able to earn money, then you are respected in this today's society. People don't see how you have actually earned that money. So, when Yudhishthir Maharaj saw this irreligiosity and hypocrisy rampant in society, he became very depressed. Even Lord Kapila, when he describes in detail the adverse effects of fruitive activities in Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, it is described. He says that in the householder life, when people become attached to householder life, they become very diplomatic, and politics becomes a common day thing. Always spreading miseries and controlled by acts of sense gratification, he acts just to counteract the reactions of all his miseries. And if he can be successful in counteracting such miseries, he thinks that he is happy. So for the happiness, the definition for happiness for modern man is that he is able to counteract the miseries. The miseries are so much in this world nowadays that just by if somebody is able to counteract the miseries, he feels that, oh, I am actually very happy. But actually, that is not happiness. Happiness, we will go on to see. He secures money by committing violence here and there. And although he employs it in the service of the family, he himself eats only a little portion. We see today, nowadays, like people are engaging in so much of hard labor to earn money. Even just behind our temple, there is construction activity going on. And we were speaking with some of the people over there in charge of the construction. They were saying it's going to be a 70-story building which is going to come up. And each floor, we thought that how many houses they must be building. He said, no, not much. 60-70 houses only will be there. Means one floor will be for one house. Almost like that. And each house will be costing in crores of rupees. So we see that people are engaging and they are building this building which is going to be so that means what? There are people who have enough money to buy such houses. So that just shows that how much people are engaging in. And this much amount of money nobody can commit earn without committing violence. And we see violence in different ways. And we see that even after earning this money, which a person may do, a person usually earns money for his own family, his relatives, to show off with his relatives and all. But we see that the same people, if that person is caught in some scam or this or some unlawful activity, then everybody is ready to give him up immediately. They all disown him, and he becomes totally dejected and lonely. And then many a times he does not have the option other than committing suicide. So we see that in this material world, happiness means people are thinking that it is actually counteracting the ill effects of distress. In fact, such a description is also there in Srimad Bhagavatam itself, where Avanti Brahmana, in Srimad Bhagavatam, the 11th canto, it is described how Avanti Brahmana, he was a very, very big, rich man, but he was a miser. He would not even spend money for his own well-being or for his family. And he had accumulated so much amount of wealth, but just because he had wealth, so all his family members and all were clinging on together, just being with him, because they were thinking somehow or the other we may get something. Now, it is said that a miser makes a difficult person to live with, but he makes a very good ancestor. So, they were all clinging on to him, but then somehow the other, this Avanti Brahmana, all his money got lost. Yeah, some money was taken by the government, some by thieves, this and that, and all this. And then when he actually lost the money, then all his family members also gave him up. And then he was just roaming around like a beggar, and people were causing so much of distress to him. And when he went through all this experience, actually, by the Lord's mercy, he developed a lot of renunciation, came to him. And he described his own realizations. He says, the Brahmana had previously been trained in pious life, but his past goodness was covered by his offensive behavior. Finally, his previous purity was reawakened within him. And then he describes what his realization is. He says, Arthasya sadhane siddhe utkarne rakne vaye nachopabhaga ayasya trasya chinta brahmon naim. He says that in earning attainment, increase, protection, expense, loss, and enjoyment of wealth, all men experience great labor, fear, anxiety, and delusion. So, here is another realized person who is saying that with any aspect concerning wealth, there is a lot of anxiety, labor, fear, and delusion. He says, like we see, it's not very difficult for us to comprehend this. When we see people living around us, we see that everybody is working so hard for earning money. We see people spending hours traveling from such long distances. They are spending so many hours traveling from one place to another just for the need for employment. People are leaving their villages where they were staying peacefully with their family. They just come alone to big cities, where they may otherwise, in the village they may be having a big house, but in the city they have to stay in some small pigeonhole like type of thing. And even that too, they have to share with the so many people, same house. And they eat somewhere outside, some small snacks, and somehow the other, just so much of endeavor they have to do, traveling. And the most difficult thing is, it's described in Bhagavatam, is that so much of endeavor is done, but still it is not satisfying to them. Why? Because they are away from their near and dear ones. They are away from their family. They are not, because to maintain the family in a city like Bombay is so costly. So just to save on that, but then because they are staying away from their family and their loved ones and near and dear ones, so they are also not happy within themselves. And full year they may spend over here, and then 1 month they may take leave and go home. And then for increase of wealth, there is so much of endeavor. Like here Anand Vrindavan Prabhu is there, he knows so well that how much people want, whatever little money they may have, they may immediately want to invest. And then when they invest in various stock markets and all this, then so much of anxiety is related with that. As the stock market barometer goes ups and down, so similarly the people's blood pressure also goes ups and down. You know, just like that. So one day they may become pleased. Oh yes, today the rates have increased. And then again some scam may happen, or some finance minister may declare some policy, because of which again the market may crash. And then everybody becomes so anxiety. Then people are forced to commit suicide because of financial things. Just like a few days back, Adi Kesha Prabhu was mentioning in his class how a very pious South Indian person, he went to America to earn his livelihood, and he was a great software engineer or some, and then earned a lot of money, had a lot of finances and all, everything. But then eventually, because of some reason, somehow he lost all the wealth. And then he became so depressed that he ultimately resolved to kill all his children, his wife, and then himself also. So we see that so much of anxiety is there just for protection, because for like a person who has got a lot of money, and when he loses that money, it becomes more difficult for him to sustain his life rather than for a poor person. Even for protection of this money, there is so much of anxiety involved. Like people have to, when they have to rent bank lockers to keep this money in safe custody, and even or else, even if they may keep over there or they may keep at home, then they are always like having so much of fear that some thief may come, or maybe the tax collectors may come. Many a times, like people, they have money but they don't want to show it off, or they don't want to buy any things or property. Like many of our friends we know, like they may have money but then they don't want to buy a house or property or a car. Why? They prefer to travel by taxi or stay in a rented apartment. Why? Because they say, as soon as we buy a house or a car, then immediately calls will start coming from the underworld. They will say, okay, give us also some share of your money. It seems that you have a lot of money, so we also need some protection. Just protection money, they call it. So for protecting your assets, you need to pay us some portion of that. So much of anxiety is there, like for people. And of course, to enjoy the wealth also, so much of endeavor is required. Like we may think that, oh, after earning so much of money, now enjoying this or utilizing this money will be very pleasurable. But even we see that to enjoy this, so much of endeavor is required. People have to go from here to so much far off places for a holiday vacation, we hear in so many newspapers that people celebrate marriages in such pomp, so many crores of rupees are being spent. And when money is being spent, we see that the other thing is that along with that, so many diseases come. When people have too much of money and they don't know how to spend, then they actually spend it in such ways that which actually attract so many diseases afterwards. And then the balance money has to be spent on cure, on treatment, and give to hospitals. And for this also, although you may pay the money, but still the pain is something which you have to endure. You cannot get relief from pain. Pain, that suffering, that has to be endured by each and every one of us. So, thus we see that with all the aspects of earning money or protecting or increasing, trying to, there is so much of labor, fear, and anxiety which is involved. So it is for an intelligent man is one who decides that, oh, better I should have only as much money as is needed. Although we may think that, oh, need is a subjective thing, but we all understand that there is a line which has to be drawn everywhere. Like further, this Avanti Brahmana, he describes that wherever this money hoarding or this is involved, so many other bad or inauspicious qualities come. He says, theft, violence, speaking lies, duplicity, lust, anger, perplexity, pride, quarreling, enmity, faithlessness, envy, and the dangers caused by women, gambling, and intoxication are the 15 undesirable qualities that contaminate men because of greed for wealth. So, although these qualities are undesirable, many men falsely ascribe value to them. So, we see here Avanti Brahmana is clearly telling us that these are things which are undesirable. But in today's society, we see because it's being driven by materialistic men, so they actually attach value to all these things. Like gambling, intoxication, people nowadays feel that this is actually a status symbol, that you are able to visit pubs or to go to big costly restaurants to have food, or you are able to afford to go on in big cars, new cars and all like that. So one Avanti Brahmana's advice is, one desiring to achieve the real benefit of life should therefore remain aloof from undesirable material wealth. This is what is called anartham arthakyam or undesirable wealth. So we see that people's man's desire, there is a nice proverb in English, it says that the Lord has created enough for everyone's need, but not for one person's greed. You know, like a greedy person can never be satisfied, whatever amount of fuel or facilities you provide him. Like recently we had a seminar, we were invited by the BMC authorities for a disaster management seminar on disasters. Like our Deen Gaurang Prabhu, Hriday, Haldar Prabhu and myself had gone to attend that. And in that they were discussing how there are disasters. So disaster, they divided the disasters into two. One is natural disaster, another one is man-made disaster. So there are other different types of disasters, like there are earthquakes, floods and fire. Fire is also one of the type of disaster. So they said that many a times there is not so much of loss caused by natural disasters, but these man-made disasters are causing more damage. Like although there may be earthquake, a person may not die mostly of earthquake, but when buildings collapse on top of their heads, that is when the people die. More disaster is caused by that. Or even fire. Like he said that for a fire to exist, they were describing that there are three requirements. One is there is need for fuel. And second, there is need for oxygen. And third, there is need for heat or temperature. So we were thinking, okay, what about this samsara davanal? What about that fire? What about, like, you may have other different types of fire extinguishers put off these so many other different types of fires. Fires caused by chemicals, caused by petrol or electrical short circuit and all. Different fire extinguishers are there. But what about this samsara davanal, the fire of lusty desires which is there in our heart? How do we contain that? So, like, in fact, the material advancement which is happening nowadays, like, it is all promoting to create, like they say, the heat is on, like to increase the heat and to increase the temperature and to fuel these desires. There is so much of propaganda done by media and by the newspapers and all these, just to create to keep the heat on, like just to keep the people feel that we are not satisfied. Just by maintaining that heat, like the entire material progress is being fueled. So we see, like we may come across with many, the industry may provide some new things just to titillate our senses and to make our desires fuel more and more. We may have earlier there were big computers. Then from big computers it came to small PCs and then to laptops, and then now you have palm tops, and then now you have, so the industry is providing more and more facilities at a cheaper rate and with more functions, just to ensure that you are never satisfied with whatever you have. You feel, oh, I think if I have that one, I will become more happy, I will be more efficient, I will be able to do my functions more efficiently. So just by doing like this, the market is being continued. And the advertisement industry's main purpose is to ensure that people, although they are able to see this, it's not that people are not able to understand. Like, and just to increase, like I remember when we were in college, that time there was this advertisement, like there was one shop which was selling shoes at 50 rupees. Good new shoes, not second hand. New shoes, they were selling it for 50 rupees. So what was the scheme? The scheme is that you have to get, you pay 50 rupees and you get another 9 people pay another 50 rupees each, and they get this form, and you go and pay the shopkeeper 450 rupees and you get the shoes. And the other 9 people again, they will go and collect another 9 people each and collect 50-50 rupees in like this coupon and go to the shop, give him 450 and take the shoe. So ultimately you are paying only 50 rupees. But any consumer, if he is just little bit intelligent, he can easily understand this is just a game which the shopkeeper or the people, business people are playing with the consumer. That they are just making a fool out of them. At the end, someday some person will be there, everybody, the shopkeeper is not losing any money. But we are only making a fool out of ourselves. And so, like, we see, like, in Srimad Bhagavatam is so candid, like, and it is, like, all the newspapers, Gaurang Prabhu was telling once, like, how all these newspapers and whatever information we can all get, it can all be summarized in one verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Like, he says that the entire this materialist endeavor which is going on is just for this. He says, Atma jaya suta agara pashu dravidu bandushu raje chavikale nitya viroho mamata juha. Like all the endeavors by the materialist, it's all just for one's personal body, Atma. Who maintains one's body, all this endeavor is being going on, like people are working hard. Or to maintain one's jaya or wife, suta, children, like children's education and all. So many people, like nowadays, even for educating our children, like even for this material education which is being provided, so much of money has to be spent on material education. Like people, it's such a big anxiety for the people who are have a household or life to educate their children, because they don't, they know that unless and until we educate them, they may not be able to stand up on their own legs, earn a livelihood in the future. We see, and to maintain all this family and children, naturally there is a need for place and for to keep animals or horses. Earlier there were animals for transportation and all, but nowadays we have cars which also need fuel and everything. And to show all this off to his relatives, friends, and there is need for Rajya or a career. So all this material creation, actually Lord has created, or Brahmaji has created, not that to meet with our plans, what is our plan, what we have planned for our family and for our future. But actually Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that all this material creation has been made only to shatter our plans. So that we are prisoners in the prison house, we need to be taught a lesson that we cannot enjoy on our own. We need to actually satisfy the senses of the Lord. Only then we can. So Krishna says, Maya dakshina prakriti suyate sacharacharam hetu naneva kaunteya jagat viparivartate. So all this entire creation which has been made is running actually under the directions of the Supreme Lord and not at our whims and fancies. So when we actually understand and realize this, then we can actually become satisfied and peaceful. That, oh, actually whatever is there available, whatever I get for as my own quota, I should be satisfied with that and happy with that. So we see Arjuna was perplexed that why so much, so even when somebody does not have a desire to perform, commit sin, but still he is being forced. So he asks Lord Krishna, Atha kena prayukto yam papam charati purusha anichan api varshaniya baladi niyojita. So, and Krishna replies him back that actually the reason for all this activities, sinful activities which one is performing, is only because of lust. That is, kama esha krodha esha rajoguna samudbhava mahashano mahapapna vidhi enam iha vairinam. So we see that it is only lust which is born out of the contact of material mode of passion and later transformed to wrath, which is the all-devouring sinful enemy of this world. So we see that Baldev Badyabhushan ji, he describes that how we can conquer this enemy. Now that we have identified that lust is our enemy, so how we can conquer? So basically he says there are four ways we can employ to conquer this enemy. That is sama, dama, danda and bheda. But he says, like, lust is such mahashano mahapapma. Lust is so powerful that by using sama means speaking sweet words or trying to persuade the enemy. You know, if there is an enemy, you try to persuade him. Theek hai, chalo, we'll just settle it across. Huh? So that, but lust is not such that it can be overcome by this, nor even bheda. Bheda means that we try to create dissension within the enmity. Because it's greatly sinful, this also tool does not work. Dama or bribing with gifts is also not possible because it is mahashano. It's all devouring. Whatever fuel you give, like some people have this philosophy that, oh, your senses are desiring so much sense gratification, so you provide him the sense gratification till it becomes satisfied and it becomes weary of this sense gratification. But we see that by the example of Yayati, that he is telling himself that even after so much of sense gratification for so many long years, he is never satisfied. So even bribing with gifts does not work. So the only weapon which works with controlling lust is danda or punishment. And in order to punish this enemy, what we need is the weapon of transcendental knowledge. And that's why in the next chapter, which is entitled the Transcendental Knowledge, chapter 4 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that reveals that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and we are actually the eternal servants of the Lord. And so our purpose is Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam. We use our senses to actually serve the Lord. The only way we can work is that use this transcendental knowledge to convert the lust to love for Krishna. And by using everything for the pleasure of the Lord, then we become actually... we can overcome this great enemy of lust. Like life, there was one nice anecdote, analogy which was said, that life is like a tennis match. So if you want to win this match, you have to serve nicely. Only if you serve nicely, then you can win the tennis match. And always the tennis match begins with love all. So for us, rather than developing envy in our life against or hatred amongst other living entities, if we develop love and love for each and every living entity, then actually we can become peaceful. And it is also said, like sometime back one person had sent one SMS, that success means what you like, but happiness and satisfaction means to like what you get. So if we are able to like what we are getting, then we will become more peaceful. A rich man is not one who has more, but one who needs less. So if we are able to control our needs, or if we are able to restrict our needs, whatever limited facility which we have been given by the Lord, we can actually become peaceful. Actually, in Bhagavatam itself, there is a very nice verse, like which actually Gauranga Prabhu had taught us in the beginning itself. Sada santushta manasa sarvas shivamaya disha. Sarakara kanta kadibhyo yathopanad pradashivam. For a person who has suitable shoes in his feet, there is no danger even if he walks on various pebbles or thorns. Like there was a story that a king wanted to go to the forest. And when he was going along with his minister, he saw that there are so many pebbles, thorns and all lying here and there. And it became very difficult for him to walk. So he ordered that, okay, you put a carpet all over the forest. All over the garden. So the minister suggested that it will be so much costly to put carpet everywhere. Rather than that, better I'll buy you a pair of shoes, nice comfortable shoes. So if you wear the shoes, then wherever you walk, you may walk over pebbles or you may walk over thorns, but then you will be not hurt. You will be comfortable. You will be happy. So it is said that one should always be satisfied as a grihastha with one's wife. With the food provided by providence, not endeavor. Like even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Jiva lalasa iti uti dhyay, Shishnodar parayana, Krishna nahi paye. So if one endeavors too much for food, then we will not be able to get Lord Krishna. And also one should be satisfied with money which is earned by honest means. If one is, but on the other hand, one should not be satisfied with certain things. And that is knowledge of the scriptures. One should always hanker for more and more knowledge of the scriptures, because that is what is going to ultimately lead us for salvation. And also one should not be satisfied, or one should always hanker for chanting more and more the names of the Lord. Because that is the process which has been given for this age of Kali to make our spiritual life successful. And thirdly, one should never be satisfied with charity. So if we are following these principles, then we can make our life successful and become satisfied and happy in our life. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. I'm sorry, it's already late. So we will end like this. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.